We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you. This is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We pray that you are having a great week thus far, and with Thursday and Friday left to go, you already have your sights set on this weekend, getting to worship God with all of your heart. So this last Sunday, I was at church, and all of a sudden, when we open our services, we start off with a worship song most of the time, and then I get up and greet the people and have a word of prayer. And I was taken to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, where it talks about that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or a special people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And all of a sudden, I had this picture going on in my mind of my ceiling fan in my bedroom. And it's a relatively new ceiling fan, but I don't think it's the fan as much as it is the particular type of light bulb that we have in that fan. And that is that whenever we come into the room and the light's been off for a while, you know that the power is going to the fan, but the light starts off very small. Now, most people, when they turn the light switch on, they are expecting the light to shine very brightly. My wife, she doesn't, if she's only going to be in the room for just a minute, she won't even bother with it anymore. She'll just go and turn on one of the other light switches, and I could probably remedy this situation just by changing the light bulb, but I haven't done that yet. But here we are on Sunday morning, and this verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, was coming to mind, where it talks about, you know, that God has created us as a special people. He's chosen us. He's made us holy. But it says that we should proclaim the praises of Him who have called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And all of a sudden, I had this picture of God coming into our worship service and flipping the switch and expecting a people to praise Him and to give Him glory. And all of a sudden, you know, instead of the room lighting up, and we talk about how He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that sometimes we, you know, take some time to get warmed up, so to speak, or we have come into church with the mindset of, okay, well, maybe somebody will sing a song that will pump me up and I can show forth the praises. And I want you to know, folks, that I believe that God wants us to show forth His praises every day. I believe that we should be testifying and proclaiming the glories of His marvelous light wherever we go, that it should not be something that we have to be pumped up for, but instead that there should be this instant activation switch that goes on in our spirit. I have this reaction that whenever somebody that I'm talking with says, "Praise the Lord," that I look at that as an instruction. And so I just begin to praise the Lord and say, "Okay, let's do it. Father, we just thank You right now, and we praise You for Your goodness and Your grace." I can find something to praise God for in just about any situation. You know, not every situation turns out the way that I would like it to turn out. Sometimes those situations turn out with a much different a different result than what we had in mind. We had Armin and Bonnie Morales, and they were telling us a story about how a well, I won't go into details. It didn't involve them. It involved somebody that they knew, and one of their kids. And the end result, God answered their prayer, but didn't answer it in the way that they were expecting. And it wasn't until after that fact, after that realization, that God had answered their prayer, and that he wasn't being mean to them, or he wasn't ignoring them, but he was answering their prayer and showing great mercy. Then all of a sudden there was a different perspective on that, and they were able to, you know, this other family that they were telling us about, they were able to praise God in one of the most tragic events that you could possibly imagine. And so today I pray that with your perspective, that you will be of the mindset that you are ready to praise him no matter what is going on in your world, because he is worthy of our praise. So we want to mention to you today one of our four sponsors that we have, and they help us offset a little bit of the expense here for the radio program. And that program today is Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical. If you have any issues in those areas, you could call them. They're based in Rockledge, Florida, 632-9538, 632-9538. And so if you have any issues that are coming up, you can reach them, and they can help you out with excellence. They've done some work at our church, and we are greatly, greatly appreciative for them. So today we want to take you back, and again, this is another quote you may have heard reference a guy by the name of Dan Betzer. Dan Betzer was a radio broadcaster for the Assemblies of God for a number of years. He now pastors a church down in Fort Myers, Florida, and is on up there. I actually went to Bible college with his son, who was a missionary and now is pastoring in Missouri. So he's older than I am, but God has given him a tremendous heart for missions, and he's a great communicator as well as just a pastor, and, you know, with a heart for missions. But he made this statement one time. He said, when you read the Bible, don't just read the Bible. Read the Bible, you know, really get into it and see what it has to say. And that's what we have been trying to do here with our study here on the Lord's Prayer. We've been on this one subsection now for quite some time. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so what we have been talking about is, God, give us this day our daily bread. Now we're going to shift the dynamic a little bit about this, because there can be a tendency in the body of Christ to have the mindset that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that it is just going to be a freebie. It's just going to be a handout. It's just going to be something that we don't have to do anything to receive. And I hope that if you go back and listen to some of the previous broadcasts, when the children of Israel got the manna, that manna still had to be processed. It still had to be prepared in order to be utilized and made into something that the people could partake of. So it is not just a handout in which we are uninvolved in the process. God is not interested in developing a people who are just a bunch of freeloaders, but instead he is looking for a people who will partner with him to accomplish great and mighty things. So I do want to mention also a big thank you to the men who came out to our men's meeting, our Iron Men barbecue last Friday. We're going to have a men's breakfast this coming Saturday, you know, and see where we are, whether we want to do breakfast or whether we want to do dinner. And we had our largest turnout we had ever had for one of our men's events. And I was at the end, I was speaking into to the men's lives that God created us to impact our environment. Even if the environment is a very difficult environment, then greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. God wants you and I to be people of great fortitude and great strength that can impact our environment and prepare that atmosphere for the seed of God's word so that it will be transformed into a fruitful place. And so that was just some of the stuff that we were talking about. You and I, we are not meant just to be receivers, but we are meant to be partners with God in accomplishing his task, here on the earth. In John chapter 17, there is a very interesting passage. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer in, chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, verse number 1, it says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Listen to verse number 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. One of the ways that God gives us this day, our daily bread, is he has a task, an assignment, a job, a work for you and I to do. Not that that work earns us our salvation, but that work is done in faith because our Savior has forgiven us of our sins. If you are not involved in the work of the ministry, if you are not involved in your local church, if you are not touching your community, I want you to know, this is going to sound harsh, and I don't think I've ever said it this way, you are missing the will of God in your life. If you are not involved in your local church, if you all you are doing is coming and sitting and receiving, and you are not participating, if you are not active in the ministry and touching and transforming this community for the glory of Jesus Christ, you are missing the will of God. And so Jesus said here, I have brought you glory by completing the work that you gave me to do. And so if we were to take a poll of people in our congregations, if we were to take a survey of those who are listening on the radio and say, how many of you want to bring glory to God? I'm sure that it would be a wildly over-the-top response that almost everybody wants to bring glory to God. There are probably going to be a few people, and they're going to say, no, I actually all I want to do is I want to go to heaven. I don't really, you know, want to get involved too much. I'm a wallflower. I want to blend into the background. And if that's you, I want you to know I can identify with that. I was the soft-spoken individual. If you would have ever asked me, you know, 25, 30 years ago, if I was going to be doing radio broadcasts or things like that, I would have told you, there's no way. That's not who I am at all. But thank God he can make us into things that we never were on our own. A lot of times people focus on their natural giftings and they miss out on the supernatural giftings of the one who created us. God can implant in you and I things that were not naturally there. So almost everybody would want to bring glory to God. And Jesus said the way that he accomplished that task was by completing the work that you gave me to do. You say, well, how in the world are you getting to this? Give us this day our daily bread. And I think back to a conversation that I had with my father. My father worked in construction. And at one point in time, he he had said this. He said, you know, I pray, God, give me, you know, this day my daily bread. He said, I pray that prayer all the time. And he said, and normally the way that God does that is he gives me overtime. He gives me an additional job to do. He provides my dad was very entrepreneurial. He's still very entrepreneurial in that if there's something that he can do that he's going to make money at, he will do that. And so he, even now in retirement, he's not just sitting around, you know, waiting for the check to come in. He is out there and looking for things that he could do. When one door has opened, another door may have shut. When one door shuts, another door opens. And he's constantly out there. Now he and my mother, they enjoy life. They enjoy one another. They are virtually inseparable. He's still looking for things to do. Some people are much younger. Some people have a lot more skill and a lot more opportunities, but they're not looking for anything to do. Let me ask you, when the last time you were walking through the church parking lot and you saw a grocery bag just laying there, you know, that the wind had blown in, did you walk right by it or did you reach down and pick it up? You know, I've been around a number of great leaders, and what they did was if they saw something that they could do, you know, even if it was just right then, they would do it. They wouldn't wait. They wouldn't delegate it. They would just reach down and pick it up. And so I encourage you that God wants to give you work to do, but whereby he is going to meet those needs. He's going to cause you to be able to have your, and not only yours, but others' daily needs met, because he's going to give you a job that you were created from the foundations of the world to accomplish. I told my congregation, I believe that God created me to pastor Merit Assembly of God. And, you know, I have great esteem for other pastors and other ministers, you know, some that are just slightly older than I am. And you know, some of them started pastoring about the same time I have. And they've gone on and, you know, built mega churches and all of that. But you know what? I don't compare myself with them, because if I did, I would just be depressed all the time. But the mindset that I have is quite simply this, that God is the commander in chief, and he's the one who positioned me where I'm at. And so it is my privilege and my responsibility to serve the king in whatever capacity he sees fit, and to make the most of that opportunity. So I'm not grudgingly serving at Merit Assembly of God. I am rejoicing in the opportunity of getting to serve the king. So part of that, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. You got to go back to before Job and Esther. So Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 1. And Nehemiah was serving in the king's court. He was the wine taster for the king. That meant that what he was doing was he was he was sampling the food, and if he didn't die, then the king would eat his food. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 11, it says, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. In the New International Version, it says, and give your servant success this day. I want you to know that one of the ways that God grants us this day our daily bread is he gives us success. He gives us success. If you drop down to Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 20, it says, so I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us or give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. One of the great things that I see in the Word of God is that the men and women that we read about, they may not have always been the most naturally gifted, but they knew that they had a God who supernaturally imparted gifts. And one of those gifts was success or prospering in whatever they put their hand to do. And I want you to know that that God is still alive, and he still wants to accomplish that for you and for me. In Psalm, the 37th chapter, Psalm 37, it says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. My goodness. Feed on his faithfulness. Verse number 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, there is a popular viewpoint of that scripture that says that, you know, whatever we desire, you know, that God will give us that. But it talks about the things, the steps that are leading up on to that is we trust God, we do good, we dwell, we abide in the place that he has brought us, we feed on his faithfulness, and we delight ourselves in the Lord. Okay, so there's five things that are taking place there in the person's life. And then it says in the end of verse number 4, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And what I believe that that verse is talking about is he will plant God-given desires inside of us, and then he will give us success in seeing those desires come to pass. Okay? That's truly what I believe that verse means, you know. And so there are times when, you know, people might, you know, see a car and they say, I'd like a car. And, you know, the truth of the matter is this, if you need a car, God is going to bring you a car. He's going to bring you transportation. One of my missionary heroes, in the Assemblies of God, we have a ministry. It's called Speed the Light, and it, helps provide vehicles and equipment that missionaries need on the field in order to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. And one of these guys said, you know what I need? I need a bicycle. I need a bicycle. A bicycle is the most efficient forms of transportation in the region that I serve. If you could give me a bicycle, I can reach these people with the love of Jesus Christ. And you know what? We provided him with a bicycle. Now, I've had other missionaries, and they were traveling in very rugged terrain, and they needed a vehicle that could go where there were no bridges, that where they could cross, you know, rivers and creeks that were very deep. And so they needed a vehicle that could cross those waterways so that they could do that. And you know what? We've provided those as well. And so we're very thankful. God will give you the desires of your heart. But the desire is birthed out of your trust in God. You're doing good because God is serving in you. You're feeding on his faithfulness. You're occupying that place that he has planted you. And you are delighting yourself in his lordship. There's a, let's see, I'm looking at the clock here. And I think we'll probably deal more tomorrow with success. But there's another verse that says God gives us a, this is Psalm 20, verse number 4. Let me turn there just a second. Psalm 20, it ties in with that Psalm 37 passage. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. So the key thought there is God gives us the desire of our heart, and then he makes all of our plans succeed. Last verse that we're going to touch on today is in the book of Genesis, all the way back at the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 24. And in verse number 10, it said, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. As we're thinking about this, give us this day our daily bread. Can we ask God to grant us success today? Give us the desire, give us the task that he needs us to accomplish so that his name will be exalted, so that he will be lifted up, so that people will be drawn to him. Let me just close out in prayer today. Father, I want to thank you today. I pray that every person that is listening to this radio broadcast, Lord, that we would have the testimony that Jesus had, that at the end of our life, we will have brought glory to you by completing the task that you have given us to do. God, today on this Thursday, I pray that you would give your servants success at work, success at home, Lord, that you would cause them to be able to succeed in every assignment that they have been given. Lord, we'll give you the glory and all the praise for it. We will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.